From the Land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the first day of August, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with AgMarket.net's Kurt Kimmel. We'll take up the weather forecast with Mark Russo of Everstream Analytics. He'll discuss those morning showers across a portion of Iowa, and then Illinois and Indiana into the eastern Corn Belt. And as we move our way through the program, we'll look at a broader perspective of the marketplace with ag economist from University of Minnesota, Ed Usson, all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn today at $6.07, settled down 9.25. The December new crop at 6.09¾, down 10.25. And March futures 9.5 lower. They finished at $6.16¾. August soybeans at $15.94¼, down 42¾. The September at $14.32, down 55¼. And November 62.5 lower. The new crop soybeans at $14.06. Bean meal futures down $8.30. The bean oil off $2.37. Wheat futures soft red in the September, 7.5 lower at $8.25. The hard red at 8.66½, down 8 cents for the afternoon. Live cattle futures at 142.62½, up 40 cents in the October. The September feeders at $183.10, $1.55 higher, and lean hogs down 40 cents in the October at $96.82½. Crude oil today at $93.86 a barrel, down $4.76. The diesel fuel or heating oil down 10⅛ cents at $3.44. And the wholesale price of gasoline at $2.98⅔ cents. That's 12¼ cents lower. Here to help us make sense of what happened in Chicago and other places across the planet is Kurt Kimmel. He's with AgMarket.net in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here once again.
Let's start with the crude oil. It was off $4.50. What happened in that market? And did that make a wave into what happened in the commodity markets? Or was it the rainfall and other things happening across the planet?
Well, there's a lot of moving parts or a lot of balloons in there for the most part. But last Friday, that energy market took off. Crude traded above $100 a barrel, and they thought, here we go again. But coming into today, the weekend and so forth, there's concern about so-called slow demand, recessionary, inflationary, and some outside factors. Consumer confidence is quite low. But two, we're in a situation where vacation travel is pretty well wrapping up for the most part. And I think the energy sector played that game fairly well. As everybody was on vacation, the price was fairly high. Now, as we start to back and fill in through here, as this demand kind of slows for the most part. The bigger news items outside-wise, which the commodity funds, I think, probably took part in that, was the House Speaker Pelosi going to Taiwan. That's a very sensitive topic for China, and there's ideas that China will have some consequences in mind. What they are, who knows, but with a slow Chinese bean buying schedule we're seeing here, they're not buying that million metric ton purchases like they did in the past, that maybe they could drag their feet on buying some agriculture products. I don't know how long they could do that, because they're going to need to continue to have food security within their own country there. So we'll see what type of news develops there. I know there's talk about if she was escorted by fighter pilots, that would be an act of war. So we'll see how the news media proceeds with that. Otherwise, weather-wise, there was some moisture that sneaked in the eastern Corn Belt. The maps are still a little uncertainty, but here locally, we a quarter to 3/4 of an inch through central Illinois and Indiana there. Temperature's still going to be warm, but they're going to cool down, and there's going to be some shower activity. And that shower, there's probably be some downpours in some areas where it'd be a little bit more generous, but hopefully it's not a situation where you got the wind and the hail with it. We're hearing isolated reports of that as we move forward in through here. This afternoon, as a nation, looking for about 1% drop out of that good to excellent category. We'll kind of look at the state breakdowns, but I think we're all pretty well in agreement that Western Belt's going to continue to struggle and see a little bit more deterioration. One thing about the Western Belt, you got to remember, a lot of that ground out there is irrigated, but the dry land's really struggling for the most part. As far as struggling, it seems like Bloomington, Normal, Illinois, and you go straight east through your area there in Champaign on Indiana, still continues to be a big dry pocket. Talking to a few producers, maybe 180 bushel corn versus 220, 230, there's going to be some tip back and some real issues there. Then you talk to some guys, they're looking at kind of the best crop, you know, they've seen quite some time. I know that cotton picking rascal down there in Windsor, Illinois, that Bennett guy, he's looking pretty good, I think, on what he's doing this year. So he won't have enough sold or marketed probably when it's all said and done. Technical-wise, last week was one of the biggest up weeks in beans in modern-day history. Now we're giving back some of those gains. I think if you watch the 1388 area, that's 50% back down to the last low we made. So that kind of needs to hold. In corn, the 50% retracement back down to the last low there was 599. So technically, I think you got to kind of watch those two points on the charts there as we go through the week here.
Crop production report, the first one of the year for corn and soybeans, is due out on the 12th day of this month. Not very far away now, a week from this coming Friday. I know it's early, but what are the trade rumblings about that crop production report and whether USDA will change yields for corn and soybeans? 51.5 current for the soybeans and 177 bushel the acre national average yield for corn. Any thoughts?
Some of the private guys have moved down to this 50 bushel acre, 50.5 bushels, well, maybe a bushel lower on beans. Corn-wise, maybe hearing as much as maybe 75, 76 bushels per acre. We'll see. Yeah, traditionally, this August crop report has been a benchmark to watch real close. Here lately, though, we've been seeing some samples not going to be taken until September. So September is going to give the crop a little bit more time to develop. The key, though, is this August weather, and that's going to affect that yield quite a bit, because when you start taking 1 to 2 bushels off beans, or adding 1 to 2 bushels to beans, and, you know, 4 or 5 bushels to corn, that affects the bottom line tremendously there. Then secondly, we're still going to be watching that world demand, supply demand balance sheet, where we are on this Black Sea or some of these other countries. So there's a lot of moving parts around the world where some countries are going to some other countries traditionally they don't buy from. And so we're going to have to keep an eye on the flow of grain around the world, even though we saw our first, or seen, hopefully seeing our first shipment out of that Black Sea region. Now, I don't know if the Russian military has a different idea or not, but I'm sure we'll see on the news tonight as we move forward how much grain is going to be coming out of that Black Sea region.
USDA and the acreage report in June said that it would resurvey some of those states out west. Will there be any changes there that pop up in this crop production report?
Could be. Yeah, that's a good observation. I haven't heard anything solid on that. We're always subject to some revisions. I think those revisions are going to still take place going in clear into next year in through here. And for the most part, you know, the strong areas that here in the east and so forth, the high producing areas have pretty well got those tallies in there. So just those little fringe areas that might have shuffled with a few things around will be one other point to watch, too. Yes.
Hey, thank you so much.
You bet. Take care.
You too. That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with AgMarket.net. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. President Biden's pick to be the next chief ag negotiator says, if confirmed, he'll engage with China to step up its production of fertilizer ingredients as farm input costs here soar. Doug McKellop says farm input inflation will be a top priority of his if confirmed.
These are times of tremendous opportunity in international trade. But if the bills that farmers have to pay for their inputs negate those gains, we will have missed an opportunity.
Aside from Russia, McKellop says China is another big producer of fertilizer ingredients.
China, for example, has shut down exports of urea and other nitrate-based materials that are used in the manufacturing of fertilizer. So if confirmed, I would want to work directly engage with my Chinese counterparts to see how we can open up the flow of key inputs and minerals that can be used here at home for the manufacture of fertilizer.
Texas A&M's Ag and Food Policy Center reported earlier in the year that record fertilizer prices could increase another 80%. The Ukraine-Russia conflict has led to supply shortages with both nations' major producers of ag commodities and inputs. Russia alone accounts for 23% of global ammonia exports, 14% of urea, 21% of potash, and 10% of processed phosphates. On this Monday, let's check with Ed Usset at University of Minnesota Extension. He's an agricultural economist there to see what he thinks about the marketplace. Hi, Ed. It's been a month since we've talked. Has very much changed, in your opinion?
Not a lot changed in the last month. Last time we talked in early July, we had just come off of 4 to 6 weeks of really bad price action. Wheat in particular, way down from its highs in April, May, and corn and soybeans also off. And since we talked in early July, much of the same. We haven't continued lower. I guess that's good news. Still a little softer in wheat, but about flat price in the world of corn. Soybean oil, soybeans have had a bit of a bounce.
In the United States and wherever crops are grown, but in the U.S. in particular, during the growing season, it tends to be a weather market. This one has been for some time now, I believe. What do you think of the marketplace?
Well, I know that we are trying hard to kill this crop. I read the news, and we're going to be hotter than normal here in Minnesota. We're going to get hot this week. We don't have a lot of rain in the forecast. But the fact is, I look at the crop conditions report, which are, I'm calling them painfully average. This is not a great year. If you look at the U.S. in general, it's not a poor year either, far from it. I think we're better than normal in the eastern Corn Belt, your neck of the woods, moderately below average in the western Corn Belt. Some areas hit harder than others. I have no reason to go against the USDA's thought of sort of 177 bushel per acre corn yield. I mean, that's not a great one. That's just the trend average, and I think we're heading that direction.
What does that tell you about new crop prices going into the fall?
We've had a painful correction on the downside or whatever already. I think we're looking for new news here, Todd. I mean, we're looking for something new on the, obviously the weather is always in play, but I think what's lacking here is something on the demand side that gives us a new direction, a positive news on demand, something we didn't see coming up, or could be negative news, seeing that demand has eroded more than we thought. That's what we're looking for. We're looking, markets search and react to something new news. And we just haven't had a whole lot of new news in the last month.
If USDA in the August crop production report remains at a 177 for corn, and then you'll have to tell me about the 51.5 for soybeans and what you think.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a carryout of 1.4 billion in corn, 280 million for soybeans. That would be what WASDE is at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we put those fall prices?
Modestly lower than where we are today. Modestly lower than new crop bids today. There's quite an inverse in the corn market. We're not going to hang on to these high nearby prices going into harvest. But I'm looking at current harvest bids, and we'll be modestly lower from that. And then I would look for, I guess my plan would be beyond that, we're going to have some rallies in the year ahead, depending on crop conditions in the southern half of the world.
What you're telling me is that producers will need to plan to store both corn and soybeans in some form, or at least a portion of them.
I think that'll be a good idea, as I'm looking at it right now. Yeah.
If they don't have very much storage on farm, should they, at this point, and I know it's very difficult because we don't know what the fall price is, should they sell across the scale?
Boy, here's my first thought on that, Todd. It's here in Minnesota. It's not unknown. I don't know if this is true throughout the Corn Belt. I'm sure it's true in other parts of the Corn Belt, but I don't know if it's a broad-based truth. There are elevators. If there's a big crop coming in where you can't sell them corn unless you had it forward contracted, unless you had a commitment to them. The idea being they're filling up so fast, they're reserving their space for those who have already sold. So I think that's something your listeners should think about. If in fact they know they have to go to market with some grain at harvest, make sure you know what that elevator is thinking about that, because it's possible they could get the harvest, have something to sell, and the elevator tell them, please go away. We're reserving our space for those who have already committed.
Those in the cash grain business that I talk to, mostly here in our part of the world, say farmers have not marketed a lot of new crop. They don't have it on the books.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether that's true across the whole of the Midwest. I suppose it can catch up really fast. But there are issues related with not having the crop marketed and also having, you know, forward price and storage availability, I guess, as well.
I get a sense that they're here in Minnesota. I get a sense that quite a bit of corn and soybeans are already priced. Boy, I wish we could put numbers on that, don't you?
Yes.
Don't you wish we had some sense of what that is? There's been some sales made earlier. But as we all think in a down market, if we look back to price action in the last half of May and June, it's the seller's lament. I should have sold more. I'm sure there's a lot of that out there right now. But, give us another shot. Give us another rally. I think we'll get more done.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
At us, it is an agricultural economist with University of Minnesota Extension. I'm the Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's check the weather forecast now with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Let's begin with the rainfall that came overnight in a good portion of Illinois and back through parts of Iowa. Can you tell me a little bit about it, please?
Yeah, overall, Illinois and now portions of Indiana are kind of the best recipients of the more significant totals. Further west across the Mississippi River and portions of Iowa, activity was pretty scattered. You had some localized areas kind of around Cedar Rapids that picked up more significant amounts, but certainly the more widespread and significant totals occurred in the eastern Corn Belt versus the western belt.
What do we know about the heat that we're supposed to get this week and the rainfall, especially in the western Corn Belt?
Yeah, well, for the temperatures in the western belt, we are starting to see that heat build in today and then continue through tomorrow. And for much of the western belt, it looks to stay in place much of the week and over the upcoming weekend. High temperatures look to climb into the mid to upper 90s, even some lower 100s, with some of the hottest temperatures kind of in around Omaha on over to the Des Moines area. Further east, though, temperatures don't look quite as hot. They will be warmer than normal, but more so kind of climbing into the low to mid-90s. The duration is less, so the more extreme heat and obviously more stressful heat looks to be more focused in the west for this week, and even for that matter, next week as well. Second, in terms of precipitation, it looks like more of the same here coming up as what's been the case in recent weeks, meaning that the eastern Corn Belt will continue to have better opportunities for rain, kind of more normal rainfall is expected the next couple of weeks in most areas. However, that quickly changes to below normal rainfall or continued below normal rainfall across across the western Corn Belt. Although we will note that there was some divergence in computer model guidance for the western belt, with the European model actually being wetter than the GFS model for portions of the western belt. And so over the next couple of days, likely there's going to be some resolution in that computer model debate.
Last week, we were wondering whether this would be a 5 to 7 or a 15-day heat event across a good portion of the Corn Belt. I take it the eastern Corn Belt is going to be far better off, but what do we know about the length and duration of the heat?
Yeah, so for the eastern belt here first, it looks like the duration will be about 3 to 4 days of most anomalous temperatures. Further west, though, it's certainly longer in duration. And again, it's kind of starting today, tomorrow, continuing through much of the week, you're talking about at least 5-6 days this week of duration of heat in the western belt. And even that does look to extend even into the start of next week as well. So some areas could see at least 7 to 8 days in the western Corn Belt, 7 to 8 days of maximum temperatures above 95, with then even minimum temperatures above 72, 73 degrees.
And when you turn your attention to other places across the planet, for instance, in Europe, what do you find?
Yeah, Europe continues to also be influenced by hotter than normal and drier than normal conditions. In fact, for France, the largest corn producing country in the EU, July registered as the second hottest of the past 30 years and the driest July of the past 30 years. And looking ahead here, much of the first half of August looks like more of the same, a continued warmer, drier bias across especially Western and Central Europe. So crop stress will remain heightened there, yield prospects continuing to lower. In Eastern Europe, though, that's where there's a bit more opportunities for rain and not quite as hot a temperature. So likely some crop stabilization for summer crops there in countries such as like the Balkans and that, Romania, Bulgaria, and Hungary.
Hey, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find our daily agricultural programming, our weekly programming as well, and information from the agricultural economist, crop scientist, and animal scientist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It's all at willag.org. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer and his courtesy, Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.